The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
A lot of economists think that we're probably either in a recession right now or we're about to be in one. And I know that can be scary. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. And it's perfectly natural to be scared. But this could also be a huge opportunity. And today on the podcast, I wanted to explore that a little bit. Joining us on the show is an investor that invested and made a lot of money during the last two recessions. So I want to find out what he thinks about buying rental properties right now, whether he thinks that's a good idea, and also how he's changed his business. The coronavirus has really changed the way that we have to do business as rental property investors. And I want to find out how he's changed the way that he's doing things. Joining us on the podcast today from Erie, Pennsylvania is Jason Perro. You probably remember Jason. He's been with us before. We'll take a quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Jason. It can be a real challenge to stay organized and keep track of all your rental income and expenses for tax time. Most people end up with a pile of receipts that you need to sort through and make sense of. I want to let you know about an easier way. It's a software that I use called Rental Hero. It was built specifically for rental property owners. They have a really easy-to-use web portal as well as an app where you can easily input all your income and expenses. You can take pictures of receipts, and you're done with the paper receipts for good. They have a free 30-day trial. You can try it out. No credit card required. If you don't like it, there's nothing to cancel. Just go to rentaltrial.com. That's rentaltrial, T-R-I-A-L.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com and MLS 42056. There's a lot of fear, anxiety, uncertainty today, but how does that compare to how you felt during 9/11 and during 2008?
Yeah, I tell you, fear is fear. I want to say I was probably like different types of fear about both. You know, 9/11, it was, you know, are we being attacked? Like, again, is our way of life changing? How is it changing? You know, there's all this economic uncertainty. I was much younger at the time too. So, you know, that type of, you know, we wasn't married yet, you know, didn't have kids yet. 2008, was a little different. You know, we, you know, everybody was losing jobs. The economy was collapsing, but at that time it was, again, I think fear of the unknown and not fear of like, I'm going to die. Well, no, I mean, you might die economically, but here's the thing. I mean, you never fail if you don't, you know, as long as you don't give up. So,
sure.
You know, the way we're looking at it in our company as, you know, using this time as an opportunity to, you know, tighten our belts.
In 2008, the banks were not really too thrilled to work with anybody. And that led to a lot of foreclosures, a lot of people just walking away because I think they just didn't know what to do. Where it seems like at the initial onset of this, the banks are proactively saying, hey, if you're in financial trouble, reach out to us. And I think that's right. They learned that lesson in 2008. And
sure.
That might really protect the market. So like, how long do you think it'll take before, because there's always going to be distressed people that need to sell. How long do you think it'll take before there may be opportunities out there.
That might start to play itself out, you know, later on, you know,
yeah,
three, 6 months down the line. I mean, I don't think that, you know, it takes a little bit to actually foreclose on a property. So,
yeah, that's true.
Or a seller to realize, oh my gosh, I'm at my wit's end. I just need to sell and get out of this situation. So, you know, there may not be as much fallout as people think if this thing is shorter lived than not.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to keep in mind is that there's always people that need to sell. Like, it doesn't have to be a foreclosure. And if people are fearful right now, there's probably going to be less buyers. So it may be less competitive to get into deals. So like, would you feel comfortable buying something right now, or do you think you want to wait and see how everything plays out?
I am 100% comfortable buying something right now, assuming that things are in good shape and largely, unaffected, then it shouldn't be a problem to get the money. But then the challenge is the third party inspections, you know, and how do you, for practicing social distancing, and we are, in certain places in a basically shelter in place. I mean, I don't know that, say in California and you know, here in Pennsylvania, we're probably moving pretty close to that. How do you, how do you inspect units when there's a shelter in place? I mean, that's just irresponsible, and probably wouldn't be allowed. So I think the timelines might be affected. And I think everybody doing a transaction right now just has to have some sort of addendum into their agreements that allow for some longer timelines and things like that. And that's but I'm 100% confident in, even right now in our rental market, for the same reasons I mentioned earlier about, look, if half our population's unemployed, that's, well, you know, knock on wood, but that shouldn't last forever.
No,
that'll rebound. I mean, people want to, you know, own companies, start companies, have jobs. I mean, this is, you know, a society of hardworking people. So that'll come back and again, if you look at the basics, people still need a place to live. So, I think that generally speaking will be the first place that, you know, a lot of people, one of the first bills that people pay.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what you're doing with your business differently today. So when you have a vacancy, how are you doing showings?
So we've instructed all of our property managers that they cannot meet a prospective tenant face to face. So they will, for instance, if they're at a single family home or they're at a, you know, big complex, they will sit in their vehicle, or stand, you know, outside the property, and keep a pretty far distance. They'll let the prospective tenant go in the unit alone. And then when they leave, they'll disinfect the doorknob, you know, before and after. And they won't, you know, they won't have any close proximity, maybe the closest like 20 feet. And so that's a little awkward, but I think it's an awkward time, and our prospective tenants understand that. You know, we had my one property manager rented 6 units this week without issue. And now the challenge is then, you know, I said, we want to be ahead of this and not, you know, just because you're dealing with customers and you know, potentially spreading a virus unknowingly. So, you know, it forced us to do something we should have done 10 years ago, which was just load our lease into DocuSign and sign this stuff electronically. So they can still review the lease and they can go line by line and page by page, but do it over the phone. And my gosh, it's like sometimes these crises, you know, force you to do the things you should have done a long time before that.
So, right. Absolutely.
That's one of those things. And then our maintenance team right now, have really just to avoid any human contact, they're working alone and isolated in vacant units. Maybe we had a backlog at certain places where, you know, or some units that were required more work, we can hold them up there independently, and they're happy and able to keep working and, you know, have their normal income coming in. The only exceptions, if there's a critical maintenance issue, you know, something that's health and safety, you know, electric, you know, leaking water, sewage backup, you know, no, furnace isn't working, you know, it's still a little chilly, you know, here in, Pennsylvania. So stuff like that is just absolutely crucial. But to that end, we're requiring the tenant to not be in place in their unit, that they have to go out to their car, or go walk around the block or you know, leave the property. And our guys are going in with respirators and gloves, and they're basically disinfecting before and after, and just taking like extra precautions. Now, the other thing is, if somebody's sick, we're not taking any chances. Like if they or a family member are sick, they have to self quarantine for 14 days. And so just really try to be comfortable with and familiar with the CDC guidelines so that, you know, we're doing our part and being socially responsible, while we're trying to still continue operating our business.
Now, filling six vacancies in a week, that's a lot. I mean, that's congratulations in doing that in this environment. Are you noticing that you're getting less interest about vacant units, or does demand seem like it really hasn't changed that much?
No, it definitely has started to drop off, but it's still there. We get a ridiculous amount of leads and emails, a day and phone calls, but that has tapered off some, but also, we've kind of pumped the brakes a little bit with our property managers and said, like, like right now is not the time to think about sales as much as it is customer service. And so if they can fill vacant units and they follow the safety protocols we put in place, that's fantastic. And we want them to do that, but more so, right now is the time to take care of our customers and, making sure that, they know. And I think it's important for our employees, the property managers to know that, we care about them and we care about our tenants, and hey, we're going to still fill units, but more importantly, we want to retain our good tenants that we've had. And I'm really making sure that those people know that we care and we understand what they're going through. And, we're here to, try and point them in the direction of resources they need or work with them, or just be a shoulder to lean on. Just try to be a little bit different than every other bill collector that they have in their life. So,
yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit, how you're taking care of your customers or your tenants. Yep. So like what kind of things are you doing? So if they're having trouble paying rent, maybe their money is a little bit delayed at their job or something.
Yep.
But like, what are you doing? Like, are you charging late fees?
So the one thing is, we've had, people reach out and we have have to have a live conversation, and then we'll put whatever we agree on in writing via text message, email, whatever the case is. So we all have a record of it. But what it is, if somebody, is on unemployment and they need to balance out their, their payment schedule, first thing is we'll waive the late fees. And again, this is for people, that are affected by the coronavirus in terms of their job. I mean, if they, if they're still working or they work remotely and there's no hiccup and they just are lazy about paying their rent, well, that's not a good time to make an excuse because they weren't affected. Right. But the, if they're affected, and a lot of people are, we have a lot of servers, a lot of people that work in retail, things of that nature. Just tons of trades, that have just shut up shop, until they're allowed to open back up. So we'd say, look, we waive the late fees. We had somebody that was breaking a lease early, and we didn't charge the lease termination fee. We're not looking to make any further economic hardship. I mean, I'm in a for-profit business, but I think you have to do this with a conscience. And I would it's just the golden rule, treat people the way you would want to be treated. I mean, if God forbid 50% of our tenants didn't pay and I was looking for some sort of forgiveness from my lender, I wouldn't want them to be hitting me over the head with a bat saying, that we're not going to be flexible. So I think that, the thing is, we will have those conversations, try to really this is where, one of my mentors in the business said to me a long time ago that, being a landlord or a property manager is also like being a marriage counselor, a therapist, a financial counselor, a big brother, a best friend, a teacher, all of these things. And I would say that, this is a time to put on your financial counselor hat and your therapist hat and talk to, and talk to them and see what their budget looks like and try to help them understand, especially if they're in panicking, just how to handle their finances and come up with a plan that works for them to pay their bills. That might be time consuming, but I think when you build that type of trust and loyalty with a tenant, they'll rent from you forever.
Now, the other thing that you're doing, which I think is really smart, is you're guiding tenants to resources that can help them if maybe they don't qualify for unemployment. Like, you're sending them to places where they can get assistance. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with that.
Sure. So we have, we put together a list of, you know, so like the, you know, Pennsylvania state unemployment, and have like the kind of the, you know, frequently asked questions, and then the link where people can sign up. So we've been sending that to people. Fortunately, I think everybody that's kind of affected by the coronavirus, at least in Pennsylvania, and I think most states are this way, is that they're waiving the waiting period for unemployment, and they're allowing pretty much everybody to get it. But additionally, there's, you know, there's certain places. I know in Indiana, the United Way, set up to help tenants with rent, you know, food and other things like that. And so I think that, you know, really that people understand that, hey, there, you know, this is a time where they're, you know, the food banks come in really handy. And if you really need the help, you know, now's not a time to be too proud to ask for it. So we just, you know, like we have a, kind of a list of those social services that may be applicable to whatever, you know, whatever, issue that tenants, one of our leasing agents, we happened to hire her from her past job was as a caseworker. So she worked with a lot of different agencies and social supports, systems that, so she's got a lot of personal contacts at those agencies. That's kind of come in really handy at this point because, you know, it kind of, I think, puts some tenants' minds at ease knowing, hey, you know, like we just got connected with this agency. Great. Like, you know, and that's why those agencies exist. So, you know, that's really just taking everybody on a case by case basis and seeing what they need.
Now, it sounds like you're really doing all the right things when you're communicating with your tenants, you're being flexible with them. So I have a feeling that your revenue probably isn't going to be affected too much by this. But if it is, if for some reason you end up having a lot of tenants that can't pay, do you have any plans on how you're going to deal with your lenders? And you also have a lot of private investors that you pay monthly to. Like, yep. Have you thought about how you're going to deal with that?
Sure. I think that, you know, number one, it's about having a honest, you know, forthright conversation with any of them. If all of a sudden nobody can pay their rent, and we're, you know, in a situation like that. I mean, I think I usually tend to, you know, on one hand, you know, when my wife and I started this business, we did most of the stuff ourselves. So, if I had to go cut my own grass for a couple months, then I'm going to cut my own grass. I'm not going to, you know, I work 24/7 to make sure that our business and our properties stay afloat. You know, I would say having that conversation, you know, with the lender and you know, asking for, you know, deferred payments or forbearance or whatever the issue is, to say, hey, we need to work through this. This was an unprecedented time, but we're committed to what we, you know, our obligations, and we're going to, you know, we're going to honor those, but we need a little bit of flexibility. So, you know, we have our agency debt, we've got our regional bank debt, we have, you know, we've got private lenders, and I've had conversations with all of them and said, hey, right now, you know, here's our plan. We feel good about it. And you know, we're going to be in touch if we need to be. And I don't think it will come to that point. Like, you know, for all the reasons I outlined earlier, I think we'll be in good shape. And you know, but I think if somebody out there is facing a scenario where they're not in good shape, I think you have to, you know, you really just have to be honest, and you really have to, you know, try to tackle the problem head on with your lender, with your investor, and you know, try and work out something creative and you know, ask them for some assistance. And don't be too proud to do that. You know, sooner the better, in some cases.
I think that's really good advice. And I hope everyone takes that to heart, that just like we want our tenants to be communicating with us and telling us what's going on and working with us and coming up with a plan, because we want to get paid. Your lender wants to get paid too. So definitely be proactive, reach out to your lenders, reach out to your investors. And I think everyone, we're all going through this together, and I think everybody wants to get paid at some point, and everyone is going to be flexible. Yeah. So, just keep that communication open. If you want to learn more about Jason or reach out to him, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode255. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you find a great deal on a rental property and you're looking for the best way to finance it, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can also help you refinance if you're looking for a way to lower your expenses. This is a great time to refi. She's got really good rates, and the process is really pretty simple. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. If you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.